Like to invite you this morning over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 36. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 36.
The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 36 reads this way. It says, "And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you again for the privilege of assembling together as your people. And then, Lord, once again being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. So we do thank you and praise you for your presence. This morning, we ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to guide us to hear from you. And, Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Once again, Lord, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and that our lives would be drawn closer to you and strengthened in the faith and grace that you've given to us to enjoy our relationship with you and to share our relationship with others that they might know you as well. So bless, build your church, Lord, for your honor and glory, and allow us to be the witnesses again that you've called us to be, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "And as many as touched were made perfectly whole," or the importance of touching God. That's what God wants us to have an intimate relationship with him. He doesn't want to be off at a distance. He wants to be able to be touched, right? He wants to touch our lives, and he wants us to touch his life as well. Because in our touching his life, that's where the difference is made. Amen. God opens up our understanding to realize how that all takes place. And then our lives are changed for eternity concerning salvation, and then also a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question this morning, just to answer to yourself, don't answer out loud. Why are you here this morning? Why are you here? And I would hope and pray that you would say, I've come to worship the Lord. I've come to receive the blessing of God. I've come to hear from God and to highly exalt Him and lift Him up. That is the heart of a child of God that is in right and a good, healthy relationship. I'm not just here to chalk off another day of coming to church. I'm not just here to just go through the routine and the ritual of religion, but that I might hear from the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to bless each and every one of us, myself included, by the way. God blesses me every time I study for the Word of God, but I want you to know He blesses me as I open the Word of God and share it as well. So when we consider this word touched, the word is haptoma. That's the Greek word, and it means to fasten oneself to, or to adhere to, or to cling to. When you touch somebody, this is the kind of touching that the Lord's talking about, where a difference is made. We are fastening ourselves, we are attaching ourselves to the Lord God Himself, and that's what He's talking about, where He makes a difference in our lives. But from the Levitical priesthood perspective, it was also the practice of not having fellowship with heathen practices. So remember, touch not the unclean things, but God wants us to touch the things that are holy, especially our relationship with Him He wants us to be involved with. So this morning we're going to consider three truths, and that's going to be the issue or the concern that the Lord had, also that the disciples had. And we're going to see what where the differences are at, right? God's ways are not our ways. And so we need to be in a place, if we want to grow in the Lord, to where we're yielded to Him. Lord, I give You the right of way. I'm not going to worship You according to the way that I think. Because if we worship the Lord the way we think, we're going to miss the Lord. And by the way, saved child of God, how does that all begin? Well, you got saved by obeying, hearing the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you obeyed the Word by putting your faith and trust in the finished work of the cross of Calvary. That is the simple gospel, is it not? The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was what it took to appease God and His wrath on mankind. And so when I see the blood, the Lord said, I'll pass over you. When I see the sacrifice that was paid, there needed to be a payment that was made. God is a holy and righteous God, and He says, this is the payment. And so listen, there's no reason for anybody to have any doubt concerning their eternal life. They simply just have to look to the Lord and what He's done, and in faith, what little faith you need to have, just a seed of a mustard seed, and say, I'm putting my faith or my trust in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary to pay for all of my sins. Because all of my sins, when Jesus died 2,000 years ago, let me just say this, all of our sins were still in the future. We weren't even born yet. And God died, Jesus Christ died to pay for all of our sins 2,000 years ago. And He said that if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. So all I have to do is put my faith and trust in Him. And He says, I will forgive you for how many of your sins? I'll forgive you for all of your sins. Now He says, follow me. Now He says, come into the holy place and walk with me and allow God to change our lives to be like His. You and I cannot make our lives like His. But God can in our lives, right? And that's the purpose. One of the purposes of salvation was that we would be like the Son of God, like the Lord Jesus Christ. We would follow after Him. Now, no way are we saying that we're anything like the Lord, but God wants us to be like Him. He's holy. He says, because I'm holy, you ought to be holy also. In other words, He is wanting to make the difference in our lives so that we can enjoy our relationship with Him, and also multi-purpose, so the world can see there's a difference in our lives. So we don't want to just tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We want them to see the Lord Jesus Christ by the fruits of the Spirit, His gentleness, His kindness, His long-suffering, by the love that you had one for another. Am I pulling this out of the air, or did the Lord say this in His Word? Yes. The Lord said that in his words. He's saying, this is the way to go. And if you'll walk in this way, he will do great and mighty things in and through our lives. So let's back up to verse 15 here of chapter 14. And let's consider this, the issue or the concern here that the disciples had. Of course, the Lord is involved also. And he has concerns also about all of humanity and specifically our lives as well. So look at verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place." And notice what he says, "And the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages." So if you remember this account here, the Lord is preaching to the multitudes, and the disciples come up to him with a concern. They saw, it's getting late. These people are hungry. What are the disciples concerned about? They are concerned about the natural realm. And rightly so. There's nothing wrong in that. But they're forgetting one thing. They're with God Almighty, who knows more than just one way to do things. See, you and I, we only think one way to do things. You know what way that is? Our way. And our way is not God's way. And so you'll find this struggle as you read through the Gospels. You'll find that the disciples, we all struggle with differentiating God's way and our way. And so this was the trouble. So the disciples came and they said, "It's evening, it's getting late." They took note of the time. They got to give them credit for that. And let's give them this credit. They went to the Lord, but they weren't going to the Lord for direction. They were telling the Lord what needed to be done. So notice again verse 15 here. "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, 'This is a desert place.'" Great observation. In other words, listen, there's nothing here. If it's a desert place, there's nothing there. "And the time is now past." Another mental note that they made. "Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy for themselves victuals." Get themselves food, right? So the disciples' idea is, "Lord, this is what you need to do." Isn't that amazing? This is what you need. Hey, listen, I got an idea. And listen, does the Bible say that that which is of the flesh is flesh and that which is of the spirit is spirit? Okay, so if we take a talented person, we take somebody with a photographic memory, or we take somebody with some kind of skill, and we say, "Oh boy, if they got saved, wouldn't they do something great for God?" No, that which is of the flesh is flesh. Because if you took what they had and they used it for God, do you like that? God doesn't get the glory in that. So listen, God's got a distinction, got to make a difference here between the flesh and the spirit. And question, are the disciples, they're saved, right? Okay, now, are they leaning on the spirit, or are they looking to and using human reasoning to come to a conclusion and a decision of what needs to be done? Are they not coming to that? They're saying, "This is what needs to be done. If we're not careful, we'll do the same thing and miss the Lord. This is what the church needs to do." Really? Is it what God said to do? Because if not, we're going to miss the Lord. Listen, has God changed?
No.
Has he ever changed? Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Amen.
So we're the ones that need to get on board on God's program, amen, on God's plan, and to yield him the right of way. And listen, God proves us, first of all, Has he taken any one of us and imprisoned us for the faith? No, he hasn't. Is that what he does with a brand new born again child of God, a babe in Christ, puts him out in the wilderness, right? He says, "Follow me," but he wants us to grow so that we're able to handle everything that God sends into our life, and everything that God places into our life, we need to see as coming from him, and that also with the need, he will also supply the remedy. Amen. So watch what's going on right here. So again, the disciples have this concern, and I want to ask you this question. Did the Lord know his disciples were going to raise this concern or this suggestion to him? Listen, before that ever happened, did the Lord know that the disciples were going to bring this up to him? When did he know that? Did he not know it even before they were created? Isn't that amazing? That's our God. This is important. Listen, it's important to have this confidence that God knew what the disciples were going to do before they were ever born. And likewise, God also knows before you and I were ever born what we need in our lives. So here's the question. Does God have a plan? Does he need our plan? Does he want our ideas? Or has he said, follow me? He said, follow me, right? And so we, listen, pride will keep us from following the Lord. Pride will keep us from experiencing God the way God wants us to experience him in our lives. Listen, pride will keep the Spirit of God from doing the work of God that God wants to bring into our lives for our joy. Listen, God doesn't want you to go out there and make people happy and us not be happy, does he? No, God says, did he say, my joy I what? I give unto you. My joy. And that your joy, our joy might be full. And in being full, we've got something to share. But right now, listen, there's no real joy in the lives of the disciples. There's a concern. And they're saying, Lord, this is what you got to do. And I would dare say that it made all the sense in the world to the disciples. You know why? Because it makes all the sense in the world to me. But the problem is, it's not God's way. So here they are. Again, the Lord understood all of this. And I want you to consider who the Lord really is. And tell me, what do you think the Lord, do you think the Lord knew that they needed food?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think he knows that you and I need food? Listen, in the process of creating us, was food an afterthought or was it all together in the heart and mind of God? It was all there. That's our God. Oh my goodness, I forgot about that. No, everything works together. Aren't you glad that our bodies weren't created that way? Oh my goodness, listen, they're going to need lungs to breathe and we're blue in the face, right? That's not the way God works. So watch this here. Verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, the disciples, they need not depart. Remember, listen. They need not depart. You know what the disciples thought? They need to go. They need to go. And what does the Lord tell them? Oh, no, they don't need to go. So fathom this thought. Was this plan God's plan that he's getting ready to tell them? Did the disciples have any idea of God's plan? That's why we need to wait on the Lord and ask him for direction so that we'll do it his way. Is that not the case? So watch this here. He says to them, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Listen to this one. Give ye them to eat. You think they expected that one? You feed them. Now they've already come to a conclusion. There's no food. So where are they looking to? Where are the disciples? Are they looking to God or are they looking to themselves? Now, do they love the Lord? Absolutely they love the Lord. But are they on board with God's plan? No. Listen, you and I need to personally pursue the Lord on a daily basis. We were talking about prayer, and it's important. Listen, I believe you can pray in your car. I believe you can pray while you're working. But I believe it's equally important to get alone with God. Amen? And I would dare say because the Lord got alone with the Heavenly Father before it was light, he did it very early in the morning. You know why? Because the Lord knew what we know is that if we don't pray in the morning, our day is going to get away on us. It's going to get crazy. It's going to get filled up. And we're going to be doing this, that, and the other. And the best time to get alone with the Lord is early in the morning when we're not going to be disturbed. I promise you, you won't get any phone calls. You might get them every now and then with these computer-generated calls. But you know, nobody's going to call you at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning. You can just put your phone on silent and be pretty well sure you're not going to get an emergency phone call. And you can spend time with the Lord and seek him for his way. So notice what happens here. He says, give ye them to eat. Now watch this. They take a quick inventory, verse 17. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So they get the rundown now. We just have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So you know what they did? They took inventory, and here's what they found out. Their inventory, what they had, was it sufficient or insufficient? It was insufficient. You know what that tells us? Listen, our inventory of what we have is insufficient, cannot do the work of God without God. God, listen, God wants us to take good inventory of ourselves and realize that without the Lord, we have nothing. We don't have a thing. And so how dependent on, and by the way, did you know this? It's never too late to get on board with God. Listen, God's calling. Can you hear him? He's calling, follow me. He's calling, give me the right of way. He's calling, believe on me. He's calling, deny yourself or you can't follow me. You may love the Lord with all your heart, but you have to deny yourself. That's why Peter had a hard time believing the Lord when the Lord said, you're going to deny me three times tonight. And he did deny the Lord, didn't he? And so likewise, you and I, and Peter didn't want to do it. He no doubt thought in his heart and mind that the Lord was wrong. He had that wrong. I will no way. He said, I'm ready to die for you. You and I can have that same attitude and have the wrong one towards God. It wasn't until Peter wept bitterly that he could not see how full of himself he was until it all came. And by the way, let's consider the prodigal son. You remember the prodigal son and the father? Remember, the father was waiting for him. He was looking for him. But let me ask you a question. When was it in the life of the prodigal son that he decided to go back to the father? Was it when everything was going his way? Was it while he had the cash and he was doling it out and he was living his riotous life? Or was it when he had nothing? When God allowed him to come to the end of himself, he had nothing left to be proud about. And that's the same work that God... Listen, that is a biblical principle because he's dealing with a human heart and he knows every one of us. And by the way, it's not something like you graduate from today and you never need that again. We need to humbly walk with the Lord. How often? Every day, always. We need to walk humbly with the Lord. We will deal with this idea of pride and not even realizing it's pride and confidence in ourselves because we've walked with the Lord and we love. Listen, we are one step away from falling flat on our face, spiritually speaking, and failing God and failing the Lord. And so we don't want that to take place. So Lord, we need you. So notice what's going on here. He said, remember they took inventory, verse 17. And notice what he says to them in verse 18. He said, Jesus, bring them hither to me. Take the little that you have and bring it to me. Can we follow that? How much do we have? Little, nothing. You might as well just say nothing. You're right. Nothing's better than little. We don't have anything without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's bring our nothing to God. That's even better than a little. Because that just puts it completely on the Lord. Lord, how much do we have to lead somebody to the Lord, to watch them get saved? How much do we have? Nothing. How much do we have to glorify the Lord? We have nothing. Oh, listen, pride says, but you don't understand. I've been serving the Lord this many years, and I've done this, and I've done that. And you know what the Lord does with all of those eyes? He says, they stink. You don't see me in yourself. You ought to see yourself in me. Isn't that the way it works? That's the way God wants it to work. And so, listen, God has not changed, and he's still in the business of building his church and seeing souls saved, but we have to be yielded to him and his thinking and his way, or he'll never bless. I didn't say you weren't saved, and I didn't say you didn't love the Lord, but we won't see the work of God and the will of God unless we're willing to surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know which way to go. I think there was a king. He was a very wise king, and God blessed him with. He says, Lord, I don't know how to come in and go out. And the Lord said, he said, I need wisdom. And he said, because you didn't ask me for all these other things, I'm going to give you wisdom and everything else. Now, I didn't say he was a perfect king. We remember his name, don't we? King Solomon. But I will tell you this, was he not blessed of the Lord? Let's take the good that the Lord showed us of how Solomon received the blessings of the Lord and come to the Lord and say, I don't have a thing to give you, God. I need your direction. That's what wisdom is. Listen, how do I go? I need your direction, Lord. So notice what the Lord does. Verse 19, and he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and took the five loaves. Who's doing the work now? The Lord. Amen? And so what happened? He's telling the multitudes to sit down. And what do? They sit down. And what does he do? Listen, his example. And he took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and his disciples to the multitude. Look at the pattern of God. The Lord could have handed it out himself, but he wanted his vessels to be blessed, and he wanted his vessels to be blessed. He wanted them to see the wonder-working power of God. The disciples saw something that the people that were sitting on the grass waiting to be fed did not see, and that was that their baskets never ran out. That God provided, they kept handing this stuff out. Maybe that some of them got preoccupied and were in the business of just hurrying up and passing it out. And then they're thinking, okay, I probably need to go back to the Lord for some more. And they look down in their basket and they're saying, there's still stuff in there. There's still food in there. So the disciples were seeing the work of God. Do you think that built their faith and trust on the Lord? Did the Lord just show them something that they could never do that God did for them? Do you know that God wants to show you and I things we could never, never do that he'll do for us? By the way, the first one is being love. Because listen, the Bible tells us in 1 John and also in the Gospel of John and many other places that if we don't have the love of God, we're nothing. We're a noisemaker. So how important is the love of God? It's critical, isn't it? It's very important. So listen, does God expect us? Do you and I have the love of God to give out, or do we have to get it from him? We have to get it from him, don't we? Lord, I want a genuine love where I could love everybody. And especially the people that don't love me. Did Jesus have people that didn't love him? And did he love them? And while he was on the cross, did he say, Father, forgive them? The people that spat on him and pulled his beard and crucified him and scourged him and did all these unkind things. Do you think the Lord really meant it when he said, Father, forgive them?
Yeah.
Do you think if they would have repented and turned to the Lord, do you think the Lord would have received them as saved children of God? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Does God want us to be like the Lord? Does God want us to follow him in his life, in his way? And so this is important, and he's teaching the disciples. And again, there's a conflict there because of our human natural understanding. But the good news is God knows we're hard-headed. Let me say that again. God knows we're hard-headed, but he still loves us. And his heart's desires that we'll say, okay, Lord, I'm giving it over to you. How much? Isn't that amazing? Giving it all to you, Lord. I'm going to give it all to you. Because without you, I can do what? I can do nothing. I can do nothing. And so, he breaks it and he gives it to them. And notice what the Bible says here in verse 20. And they did all eat and were filled. We call that satisfied. Amen? They're satisfied. Listen, do you know that the world is on the course of destruction because they're not satisfied? Do you know the same thing can happen to the child of God? There's satisfaction in only one place, and you know where it's at because you got saved by putting your faith and trust in the Lord. And that's where you begin to understand what satisfaction. Now, when you trusted the Lord, you knew you had eternal life. Whew. Right? And you can say, man, now I'm ready to live because I know the mercy of God. And do you know that God wants to bring in that mercy and that love to a full measure into our lives so that our cup is filled to the top and overflowing, that it might flow out of the goodness of God? Anything that's not of faith and not of the Lord doesn't honor and glorify him. You and I have no righteousness. So when we think we're doing something right, mark it down, it's going to be wrong before the sight of God. When we think this is what's right, this is what I need to do, if it's not in the Bible, chances are great it's not the right thing to do.
That's right.
It's just the way it is. I mean, listen, we can't move forward with the Lord until we're ready to say that. Lord, I don't want to do anything of myself. I just want to follow you and what you've said I should do. I don't want to follow myself. And listen, that's a battle too, isn't it? It's easy to say, this is what I think. This is what I believe. But if it's not what the Bible says, there's a problem with it. So he says, listen, verse 20, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Isn't that amazing? 12 baskets. You think the Lord, each one of those disciples said, I didn't run out. How about you? I didn't run out. How about you? I didn't run out. Wow. Not only did God give us what we needed to give, but he left us over with a full basket. You know what that tells us? The more we give of ourselves to the Lord, and we're talking about more than just monetary things. Do you know what he wants? My son, give me thine heart. Because if he has our heart, he has everything. And so what that tells us is when we give the Lord everything, will we lose anything? I can't remember who the missionary was that said, he is no fool to give that which he cannot keep, to gain that which he cannot lose. I believe it may have been Jim Elliot. He is no fool to give that which he cannot keep. Can we keep anything in this world? No. To gain that which he cannot lose. And I think the greatest possession that God wants us to give him is ourselves. Does he care about anything else we have? No. What he cares about is ourselves. And so verse 21, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Now, I'm just guessing here. I'll just tell you, this is complete conjecture on my part. But I would dare say there was probably, if you count the women and the children, probably another 5,000. I would dare say that most of the men that came there probably brought their wives and their children. And so, you know, because women didn't just usually go by themselves. Maybe they went in groups or what have you. But I would dare say probably 10,000 souls were fed. Can God do that? Amen. Absolutely. Does God still want to do that? He does. Question, do you and I, this is the real question, do you and I have the faith that he can do that in our own lives? That's where he wants to do it, in our own lives. Are we willing? Is that what we're pleading? Lord, your will, all of your will, everything in your Bible, everything in your word, that you would perform that. That ought to be our prayer. That you would perform that in my life. So consider this. We find here the issue or the concern, and the Lord knew about it. Then we see the Lord's command, and this is really the Lord's work in building our faith to trust him. That's what he's wanting to do. And then the last thought, as we consider this, we want to look at the work of God and his restoration, or his desire to complete us. He's wanting us to walk in a 100% faith in what he can do, and he doesn't want us to walk fearful. So let's look at the last few verses here. Look at verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. Did you get that? He tells the disciples, here's where I want you to go. I'm going to send the multitudes away. This is important. So by the way, you remember what time it was? It was evening. Remember when the disciples told them, hey, listen, it's getting late. They need to go get some food. It's getting dark. It's evening. And who knows how long it took to feed some 10,000 people. It's even later now, isn't it? And so he tells the disciples, no doubt it's nighttime. Get the vision. It's dark. There's no light. All right, so he's sending them out, and the Bible says that he constrained them. The Greek word is anakazo. That's the Greek word, and that means to necessitate, to compel, and to drive. Did you see that? The Lord was compelling them. He was wanting them. By the way, he's compelling you and I to follow him today. But listen, if we're not careful, we're not hearing him. But he's wanting us to follow him. And so the disciples, praise the Lord, they followed the Lord, and they were out in the sea, were they not? So this is important. Now watch what happens here. And verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes, plural, multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. He went up into a mountain apart. That means he was by himself. No distractions. And it's nighttime. Probably closer to the early morning hours. And he's praying. Listen, our example is praying. Could he have not have prayed as he was sending the multitudes away? And Jesus was praying while he was sending the multitudes away. You see the distraction? Listen, if you need somebody to listen to you, do you want them to fidget and piddle and do other things while you're talking to them? Well, I could pray to the Lord like that. Let me just see. I'll just walk around here. I don't got time to sit down. I don't got time to humble my... I don't have time to stop and give you my time. I'm too busy. I got to go here and I got to go there. God, I'm too busy for you. But when I ring my little bell for you, you make sure you come running. And if we're not careful, we're treating God like a bellhop instead of like the Lord and King of Kings that he is. We want to understand why things are going so crazy today. The church is the light of the world. And if the church is not honest, they won't see that they've lost that light. I didn't say they lost their salvation. I didn't say that their light can't shine. But it's through the Lord or it doesn't happen at all. See, and we'll run over here and we'll run over there and we'll try this and we'll try that. But we won't stop and call on God and humble ourselves and say, God, I don't pray like I should pray. Lord, I should give you at least an hour of my time every day in the early morning hours before my day gets started. You don't understand my day. I dare say Jesus was a busy individual. I don't think you and I are any busier than the Lord was. I don't think you and I were busier than Daniel was, and he prayed three times a day. This is our own reasoning. I'm just too busy to pray. You know what the saying is? Then we're too busy. And we better cut some of this other stuff that we're not taking with us and make time for God, because when this life is all over, the only thing you and I are going to have is our relationship with the Lord. Amen. And that's what's of greatest value more than anything else. Amen. We can fight God all we want to, but that is the truth of the matter. And I speak to all of us, myself included, Amen. That God is more important than anything and everyone, and he's priority. And if he's not, we need to make him priority. And we shouldn't expect to come up with our own ideas to make things happen that God said he would make happen. Well, oh boy, if we just had this and if we just had... God says, you've got me. Call on me. Depend and put your faith in me. Not in what you think. Because God's way of working is beyond our way of understanding. And so we need the Lord to know, Lord, we need you to tell us what you want today. And you know what? He's given to us his word. And he says, this is the starting place. And I'll build the church. I'll let you see souls saved. And by the way, we've got door hangers out there. May it never be said from our neighbors, they never told me. May it never be said that I was never invited by them to church. May it never be said, listen, we've perfect time for our family movie night. What in the world are we doing? We're trying to encourage people to come to an event that they may not normally come to a church service. Oh, I'll come watch a movie. And everybody's been saying they've been enjoying the movies. The movies have had good messages. Once a month, we ought to put a door hanger on each side of our neighbor. Each neighbor on both sides of us, because we care about their souls. See, but if we're too full of ourselves, listen, that's not real humility. You know, God wants us to be bold, doesn't he? Amen. And we have to have boldness. God doesn't want people, oh, I could never do that. I you don't understand. I'm not that. I'm a little bit backward. I'm a little bit, how would you say, just unsure of myself. God will take that away. We trust the Lord in that. And so he's talking to his disciples and he's constraining them. And again, I want to ask you, at what point did the Lord know exactly when and how what he was getting ready to do with his disciples and how everything was going to take place? Did the Lord know before this event everything that was going to happen? He just sent the disciples out into the sea. Did the Lord not know this in eternity past? So here's a real question. Listen to this question. Does the Lord know that you and I are in this building today? And has he given you and I a plan in his will? When did he come up with that plan? Oh, not today? Not tomorrow? So you and I can have confidence and faith in God's well thought out, perfect plan for your life and mine. Can we not have that kind of, do we not have that kind of faith? Or do we have to say, Lord, you have to explain yourself every step of the way? Or can we not just say, Lord, you are holy, you are worthy, I don't have to question you, you are the truth, there is no lie in you, and you know everything from the beginning, before I was even ever created. And everything will happen exactly as God knows it will. So, I have no fear. If my faith is in the Lord. And I can say with Job, regardless, and I'm not saying it's easy, but the Lord is the one who takes and gives. And everything he does is for his glory and my blessing. Amen. All we have to do is trust him in it. That's all we have to do. Now watch this. So verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Remember? He sent them away. He went away to pray. And he was there alone. And then verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. That's God's plan, by the way. He intended that boat to be right in the middle. And notice, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. The Lord knew about that too. Amen. And in the fourth watch, that's from 3 to 6. Listen, the first watch is from 6 p.m. in the evening to 9 o'clock. Second is from 9 to 12. Third is from 12 to 3. Fourth is from where? 3 to 6 in the morning. I dare say, somewhere in that fourth watch, the Lord had been praying before that time. Nobody to disturb him. Now, listen, he's showing us the example. We cannot go out until we have time alone with the Lord. We cannot go out to do the will of God, the work of God, without prayer. And the Word of God. Both of those, you cannot separate the two. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But that kind of faith, a right kind of faith, ought to activate a prayer life that sees God, that he's holy and worthy. So, verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Did the Lord know this was going to happen? That's so important for us to know. The Lord knew that was going to happen. What is the Lord trying to do? Now, you know, when I was little, me and my siblings scared each other. You guys never did that before, right? Scared each other. But we were trying to scare each other. The Lord's not trying to scare us. The Lord's trying to build us. Build us up for his honor and glory. And to give us confidence in scary situations. And to have no fear, because where are we at? Are we not in the hand of God? Yes. Does he not hold us in his hands? Yes. Can any man take us out? No. Isn't that good? That's where God wants us to have our faith. Amen. But that's something God works out in our life. So they cried out for fear. Notice this. Verse 27. But straightway, not an hour later, as soon as they cried out, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Isn't that good? Amen. It is I. Be not afraid. You know, you got to love Peter for this. He wanted to prove the Lord. He wanted to prove the Lord. Notice what he said. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Who would have thought that one up? Got to leave it to Peter. I'd have never thought I could have walked on the water, even if the Lord called me out on the water. And we know that he can. If he does, if he calls us, we know that we can walk on the water. But it was Peter's idea. And the Lord knew about it in eternity past. And you know what the Lord said? That's impressive faith. I'm going to grant his request to do something that Peter knew he could not do. Did he not know he couldn't do it? You know what we need to know? We can't do anything that God glorifies God without him. So let's stop coming up with our own ideas and go back to the Word of God and have God fulfill his work and word in our lives, that we all of it. Amen. Let's not say, well, I do this, and the Pharisees did a lot of things too, but they did not obey the Lord. They sacrificed a lot too, didn't they? But what does the Lord say about sacrifices? To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. And so, what happens here? And he said, look, verse 29, the Lord. And he said, come. Isn't that great? Come. I don't even know if Peter was expecting that one. Maybe he was. I don't know. And you know what? He was ready to come, wasn't he? He was ready to come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He did walk. He asked for something he knew he couldn't do. And listen, the reason why the Lord did it, because he knew that Peter would know it came from him. Amen. That's what God, listen, God wants us to love those that hate us. And when we, not, oh, I'll just love them and put up with them. No, genuinely love them, just like the Lord did when he said, Father, forgive them. You know, God will honor that because he's commanded us to love those that are unlovable. And that not only that, but if we ask him, Lord, I want to love people the way you love people. You know, he'll give that to us. You know why? Because you and I both will know where that came from. And it won't be us. Because you and I both know the human nature would like to see people that hate us fall on their faces, trip or do something. You know? That's the human nature. But wait a minute, that's not God's nature that indwells every believer. Lord, may we see you and your spirit in our hearts and minds. That's why he gave it to us. Gave him to us, the Holy Spirit. And so he comes out. And he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now there wasn't much time, but when he saw the wind, verse 30, boisterous, he was afraid. He walked a little bit on the water. You know, that had to be good to him, right? You and I have experienced some of the blessings of God. That's good to us, isn't it? Let's ask God for more. Let's yield to him everything that he might do all that he wants with us. And so he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Could anybody else have saved him? Why didn't he call out on one of the other disciples? Man, if the Lord is there, I want him. Amen. As much as I love everybody else, I want him. Amen. And so he said, save me. Verse 31, and 2 weeks later, no? And immediately, that's pretty fast, isn't it? And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O ye of little faith. There was no doubt in the Lord's mind he was going to not let him drown. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Wherefore didst thou doubt? Has God called us to do anything he himself is not going to do through our lives? Then why do we doubt? Because God is not asking us to do it. He's asking us to trust him to do it in us, and that's why he indwelt us with his Holy Spirit. And so if we want to see revival, forget it. If we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, don't think for a second our holy and righteous God is going to allow accepting our excuses for not honoring him. Don't think, you're hearing it here, so that you don't have to hear it before the Lord. Don't think our negligence of failure because we can't do it is an excuse before the Lord that he will excuse. We won't hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we know what everybody else doesn't know, the failures that nobody sees. And we need to bring those before the Lord and say, God, I don't want any of that in my life. And I need you. Does God want us to be independent or dependent upon him? Well, my goodness, don't we need the Lord for every day? Lord, I want to do all the Holy Spirit, all that the Holy Spirit wants to do in me, I want him to do it. I want him to do it. And if anything, listen, we talk about revival, but listen, if we hear well done, thou good and faithful servant from the lips of our Savior, I dare say we will be in revival. So I hope you want to hear well done, unless you've settled, well, I'll just take what, I got salvation, I'll just take what I, is that all our God is worth? Is that it? Is that what we're going to give him? Well, Lord, you did all the work, you saved me, here's the trash, take that out too. And that's my offering to you. Well, that's just the way I am. I can't help myself. Did God know that when he saved us? I'm saying that. I can't help myself. But my God can. Your God can. Your Savior can. So should we expect less? We'll never walk on the water if we don't ask, Lord, bid me to come to you. Get this. Lord, bid me to walk to you. Bid me to follow you in your way. Allow me to do the impossible. I know I don't have the fruits of the Spirit. So when I see them, who is it coming from? It's coming from the Lord. Amen. So immediately, verse 31, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. Listen to this. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him. That's what the Lord does. Saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Do you know God wants to do the impossible in our lives so that we can say, of a truth, Lord? God will never get tired of hearing that from our lips. Because every time we'll say it, something has happened. Amen. Of a truth, Lord, thou art the Son of God. And notice what happens here in verse 34. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, speaking of Jesus, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. They brought him unto the Lord. You know, you and I know who he is. We ought to be bringing people to the Lord. And besought him that, listen, they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. If we touch the Lord as his disciples, God will make us perfectly whole. I didn't say sinless. We still battle that. But if God's at work, he will deliver us. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about expecting victory in Jesus. We sing about it. Do we not believe it? Amen. We talk about the new life. I was once a sinner. I'm still plagued with sin, but can I not have the victory of the Lord? Is that not why he came to give me eternal life and the Spirit to have victory in the Lord? Amen. You know what God wants us to do? For salvation, he wants us to believe him. Amen. For victory and deliverance, he wants us to do the same thing. Right. Believe him, look to him, look and live. Amen? Amen? It's important to touch the Lord. Today, God would have us to touch him. And to be drawn nearer to him. Here's the question. Is that what we want? It's God's will. It's God's invitation. And our opportunity. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. Lord, truly, we are undeserving. And Lord, you are so tirelessly patient and loving to us. Bless, open up our hearts and minds to understand you in a greater way, and that we might yield completely to you, to walk with you in a way like never before, that would glorify you and bring us to the place of worship and prayer and seeking your word, Lord, and being the witness of the great light that you want to shine in and through our lives to a lost and dying world. Bless and we'll thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.